Climate Change Theater Action is a worldwide festival of short plays about the climate crisis, which is organized to coincide with global COP meetings, the UN gatherings of nations to talk climate issues. In this international festival, pieces written by playwrights from around the world are performed by people all around the world. The following plays were recorded and produced as radio theater by community members in Arcata, California in December 2025. The first one, Six Polar Bears Fell Out of the Sky, is by New Zealand playwright Alistair Emerson. Setting, a certain government's press office.
And then I said to my cleaning lady, if everyone at my country club makes $500,000 a year, it can't be that hard.
Check out the breaking news. It's unbelievable.
While accustomed to occasional visits from bears, this morning, residents of Eureka, California, awoke to a shocking and unprecedented event. According to eyewitness accounts, six polar bears fell out of the sky this morning. They miraculously landed unharmed and were last seen walking away in search of food.
The greenies are going nuts and blaming climate change. Someone is going to have to do the press briefing and tell the public everything is okay. Just another day in paradise.
Damn it. How can we spin this one?
We could go with no cause for alarm. It was a weather balloon.
Weather balloons go up. The polar bears fell down out of the sky.
A weather balloon malfunction?
Or a satellite broke up into six polar bear-shaped pieces. Yes, that's good. What about any eyewitnesses who saw the bears walk off in search of food?
Unfortunately, the six polar bear-shaped pieces landed on six unlucky cows grazing near the city center. The cows were dazed by the falling space debris, but all were unharmed and walked away in search of food. In the confusion, drunken locals reported they saw polar bears.
Plausible.
Agreed.
Problem. One of the eyewitnesses posted photos of a polar bear walking away from the crash site. Already has 1.3 million likes.
Okay. One of the polar bear-shaped pieces of the fallen satellite crashed into a visiting circus and landed on a polar bear cage, freeing the surprised but lucky polar bears. The circus was relieved to learn that their most precious bear, Mr. Fluffles, was unhurt and looked forward to reuniting the bear with its dearest friend, Bongo, the three-legged elephant, who has been crying all night since the polar bears went exploring around town.
Plausible.
Agreed.
What? Apparently, International Polar Bear Rescue already has people on the ground here with a video camera and just uploaded videos of four more of the bears wandering into the city, climbing into dumpsters, snuffling through rubbish bins, and one of them just ate a poodle. 2.8 million hits on YouTube.
Okay. Excited and disoriented by the noise of falling pieces of polar bear-shaped satellite, a startled group of teenagers who were out selling Girl Scout cookies to raise money for an orphanage and were dressed as polar bears became confused and jumped into dumpsters to escape the noise. When they emerged, the youngest member of the group, Little Sally,
recently gave one of her kidneys to a complete stranger.
I realized she had dropped a contact lens during the commotion and asked the others in the group to help her find it.
They combed the cold, lonely city streets, even searching through rubbish bins for the precious contact lens,
which used to belong to Little Sally's dead grandmother and had been a gift to Little Sally on her deathbed.
Teens were later surprised to learn that International Polar Bear Rescue may have inadvertently filmed them and are seeking damages for use of their images without permission.
Plausible?
Agreed.
Son of a biscuit! What is wrong with these people? A helpful local has befriended the last of the fallen bears and has taken it home, giving it food, shelter, and a family who love it dearly. They'll be appearing on a special episode of Oprah Winfrey at 8 p.m. tonight for the tell-all story of a bear that fell from the sky.
We could discredit the bear, talk about how it was an alcoholic, seal pup murdering savage, and fell out of a plane during a drunken bender while he was trying to snort coke off the air hostesses.
Plausible.
Agreed.
Or maybe we could just tell the truth. The greenies are right. Admit that things are utterly out of control. The polar bears were flung halfway around the world by severe weather events caused by man-made climate change so rampant and so ridiculous that anything is possible.
Come on, Madam Press Secretary. You've had a stressful day. You need to go have a lie down and a nice cup of tea, maybe some soothing music, and we can buy you a new puppy and some new pajamas with pictures of rabbits on them.
Residents of Eureka have awoken to a shocking and unprecedented event. A satellite containing poems written by children from around the world who were lost in a forest and raised by wolves was returning to Earth, but unfortunately broke up on re-entry and crashed into government buildings. During the freak accident, a rogue piece of satellite smashed through a wall before landing in the office of the press secretary, killing six visiting orphan polar bears and decorated war hero Madam Press Secretary. Moments before tragedy struck, she was preparing to host a dinner in honor of left-handed orphan polar bears. Donald Trump has honored the late press secretary by promising that Mexico will pay for the wall.
Plausible.
Space Cat, written by Scottish playwright Lewis Hetherington, alternates locations between a space capsule and its passenger's former home on Earth.
She's coming back. She always comes back. I mean, I'm fine. I'm not worried. And I like my own space. Everyone knows that. Padding about, watching the world go by. But she's just, well, I want to know that she's okay.
This is it. I'm at the edge of everything. Like the first ever sailor with the first ever boat looking out to sea back in. Well, whenever that would have been. I didn't ever think I would be important, and I didn't mind. But when this came up, it spoke to something inside of me, something vast, important.
He likes to fall asleep in the sun and likes to eat breakfast slowly whilst listening to the birds. What if there aren't any birds where she is? What if she doesn't have her special mug for coffee?
Leaving the Earth's atmosphere felt like something was tearing inside of me, but they said that would happen. They prepared us for everything. Training was hard, but everyone was really nice. And it's software doing most of the work and the people back down on the ground. It's not just me. There's loads of us, all in separate pods. Normal people given this chance, drifting off into the great beyond. It doesn't matter who finds something. Obviously, it would be nice if it was me, but that's not what's important.
Look, I miss her, okay? I do. I mean, I know everyone says cats are loners and they don't care about anyone. And maybe that's true for some cats, but not me, actually. So yeah, I do miss her. I want her to come home.
264 days now. Not that days mean anything in space. It's like a corridor with no windows, doors, or end. So that's why we have to keep this well-being log. There's all these mental and physical exercises to keep us right. A dot on a screen zips about and you have to tap it to catch it. It makes this little sound. It's really satisfying. Oh, and if you thought airplane food was bad, you should try spaceship food. I keep thinking about seeing Earth, just seeing it there, blue and green, a glowing ball of life spinning in space. It was weeks ago, but if I close my eyes, I can still just about see it.
Wow.
doors open and close, but it's never her. Someone else lives here now. She's sort of annoying, and she snores. We keep to ourselves, but she does buy me little treats sometimes. I keep looking out for my person. She's coming back.
There's nothing here. Just dust and nothing. It's not like I thought I'd stumble across a new home planet straight away. But did you see that film, Avengers Infinity War? Space in that is all green and purple and swirling. I knew it wouldn't be like that, but I keep thinking about my cat, Jess. I bet she hasn't even noticed I'm gone. Silly, really. My sister moved in. They'll be fine. 454 days now. Onwards for humanity. That's one of the affirmations they gave us.
Meow.
What is taking so long? What is she doing? What's more important than being here?
I sent a message to the company. I said, if we do find a new planet, can my cat come? They said no.
Meow.
I look for her all the time. I go out on the balcony and look for her bouncy walk below.
689 days. Jess is maybe dead by now. In cat years, she would be, I don't know, but really old. That tear inside of me, it feels bigger. The machines say I'm fine. They need our bodies to respond to samples from the planets. They keep blood moving to keep my flesh alive to see if it gets poisoned. I hope Jess will be okay at the end. I don't know what it's like for a cat at the end.
I'm so tired now. My bones are achy and it feels like I'm sinking. I just want to see her again. Was my breath always this thin? She'll come back now, won't she? She'll come back and put her hand on my tummy. What was that? No, nothing. It's all just shapes and light now. I can't see very much, but I'll know her. Her voice, her smell, her hand on my tummy. She needs to hurry up. I don't think there's long now. I want to hear the funny little noise that she does to get my attention. She goes, meow, meow, meow. And I run to her. Not now. I can't run anymore. I'm sinking. I'm sinking away to somewhere else. And then I'm gone.
Obviously, it won't work to bring her out here, but it's nice because for a split second, I get this little lift as though she might appear.
Meow, meow, meow.
I used to sit on my balcony in the sun. Jess would sit on my lap. We'd fall asleep as I was stroking the soft fur of her underbelly. There was a little wooden fox that I grew rosemary in. I don't remember how it smelt, but I remember I liked it. I'd pick a bit and Jess would nibble. We'd watch the birds, the clouds would drift, and sometimes the sky was pink and purple as the sun was setting. Maybe when she died, her soul floated out into space and she is drifting towards me. Maybe I'll see her. Whiskers glowing and eyes alive. She'll drift up to me and her ghost white paws will tap gently on my face saying, come on, get up. And then maybe her gentle ghost body will weave between my legs before she drifts onwards to cat heaven. But probably not. Day 904. I wonder if everyone is dead. Maybe Earth is just another planet of poisonous gas and dust now. Maybe there has been some brilliant and clever technical solution which just swept in and solved everything. Oh, but that's what this is meant to be. Maybe I'll find something and save everyone. I just want to see my cat. 3,467 days. My brain is flooded and my eyeballs are swollen. What was the smell? It was muscles like a pop balloon. Old plastic bags, atrophied. They told us this would happen, but they weren't. There's no planet, is there? Not for someone like me. Meow. 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 I really did have Jess. I was a normal human, you know? I thought that was nothing, but it was not. It was not nothing. The machines make it so that we can't die. Maybe if I get to the edge of the universe, then I will die and have a moment of euphoria. Breath in my lungs, a cat in my lap, the scent of rosemary in the air. I really did have it all, didn't I? I had it all.
As climate change decreases their supply of salmon, eagles are seeking other sources of nourishment. Brackendale by Elaine Avila is set at a landfill just outside Vancouver, BC.
Don't eat the
milk chocolate. I know. I saw them all die in the post-Valentine's Day massacre.
Not a joke. 17 birds dropped from the sky, dead.
I know. I'm sorry.
You can't gorge indiscriminately.
I know.
Promise me.
I promise. No milk chocolate. Only dark. Only organic. Only 70% cacao or higher. Okay. Don't look at me like that. I promise to stop gorging indiscriminately. I was looking for a rat.
Delicious.
Right? I know. I had one yesterday. I gorged, but so discriminately. Crunchy, furry, with just a hint of the flavor of mesquite. My wings are drying out. I love it here. Oh, it's warm and smelly.
Such a nice spot in the winter.
Even though it's a bit of a dump, a garbage dump. Sun, this post, it fits my claws perfectly. I love decorating my nest here. So black, so shiny, so plastic.
I notice you've been hanging it on the trees.
Right? I love the sound plastic makes as it flaps in the wind. Shwish, whoosh, shwack.
Humans hate that.
What?
Plastic in trees.
Why?
They think it's not aesthetic.
They made it.
I know.
No, don't go. No bullets. Blanks. I told you. They're trying to fake us out. Scare us off. No.
Right. I wish they'd... Do they want our numbers up or down? Make up your minds. In Brackendale, they were all so proud when we showed up for Eaglepalooza. Almost 4,000 of us. The humans made signs, brochures, tourist trips, had parties. They called Brackendale the eagle capital of the world. Make up your minds, up or down. Do you want us here or not?
Ah, Brackendale.
Brackendale. Those were the days.
Party. Salmon. Raw.
Fresh.
Water.
Sky.
Snow.
Mountains.
I could build me a big old nest in those big old growth trees. Brackendale.
The old timers telling the eagle tales of our bad times. DDT, our eggs breaking under us. We were near extinction. They thought it might be the end of us. But we're back, not extinct, not even endangered.
Party.
I know.
Fake.
Make up your minds, up or down.
I feel sorry for those humans. Terrible eyesight.
Terrible gripping power.
I know, right? But some humans, wait for it.
What?
Put us on their money.
Seriously?
Seriously, we owe them our very lives. They got it together. They stopped using DDT because they wanted us to live. Us! They're not so self-centered.
Yeah. Well, I miss Brackendale.
Brackendale.
Ugh, it's another busload of tourists come to see us in a dump. They're dumb as posts. Terrible gripping power. Terrible eyesight.
Do you know what I heard the other day?
What?
One of them said...
What?
that we could carry off their young.
We're good, but we're not that good.
Little kid got so scared.
Started running for cover, but there was nowhere.
I know. There's like 3,000 of us this year.
I told you. Dumb as posts. Actually, a post is smarter, and it fits my claws better. Do you think they're jealous?
Sure. We got 3 times their eyesight, 10 times their gripping power.
Seriously?
Seriously.
They're pathetic. Oops. Oh, sorry.
I think you got that little kid right in the eye.
I'm sorry. It's a reflex. We all do it when we take off to fly. Oh, drat. That little kid is taking it personally. He's crying.
Wouldn't you if someone pooped on your head?
It's an accident. It's not like you don't make mistakes. DDT, milk chocolate, Brackendale. If you weren't messing with the ecosystem, the salmon would still be spawning there, and you could bring your tourist buses somewhere nicer than this city dump. Oh, seriously. Why is it still snowing? There's more snow than ever.
I love snow.
What if spring never comes?
Snow paints soft, delicate light across my vision.
You are so dippy. You always think it'll be fine. What if spring never comes? No seedlings, no salmon.
They know. They're going to get it together, you'll see. We'll get back to Brackendale. The fish will spawn. We'll skip eating Valentine's chocolate and rats.
I'll miss the rats. They're good.
There's rats in Brackendale. You just didn't notice because the salmon was so good.
Salmon.
They'll take care of the ecosystem. They'll figure it out. They banned DDT. They saved our lives. They could do it again.
The last piece is an excerpt from the play Wusatumaduk, or We Make It Burn, created by Humboldt locals Michelle Hernandez, Zuzka Sabata, Marnie Atkins, Maggie Peters, Kate Gross, and Solomon Averta. It takes place at the end of class in an unnamed university.
I did have a chance to watch those interviews. Thank you for sending those videos to me.
I already mentioned you can call me Lou. Anyways, I'm wondering if this could be included in the curriculum so that students can understand from the beginning of their studies that historical Indigenous knowledge and science exist and our use of fire for land management worked really well for thousands of years.
It's clear that prescribed burning needs to replace fire suppression, It's a slow process, but we're changing perspectives and approaches, and people are working to change legislation and statutes.
Professor Daggett, I know that these larger structures take time to change, but changing people's minds can start before that because we need things to change now. Climate change is happening now, and exposing non-native undergrads at the start of their education to the very idea that Indigenous cultural knowledge should be on equal footing with Western science can help create more rapid institutional change. It is possible.
Lou... Wusa Lu La Wu. See, if I practice your native name, it's better. I understand your passion. I had that too.
Here's a citation for you. This is a report by the Karuk tribe about barriers to the expansion of cultural and prescribed burning. Quote, to address the wildfire crisis, increased beneficial fire use must come hand in hand with a fundamental shift away from fire exclusion and towards socio-ecological resilience. Such an approach is inherent in Indigenous fire management, which is one of the reasons why Indigenous leadership to restore our human relationship with fire is vital in addressing the wildfire crisis.
I totally agree. It truly is a crisis. And as a society, we've lost so much property, so many timber resources, so many people to wildfire.
But it's trees, not timber. They are ancestors, not a resource. You're blaming the wuss, the fire, when it's your ignorant Dequa system that's created this impossible mess. Yeah, it's taken 100 years for this stupid system to create a horrible situation where wildfires are deadly and destructive and people die for no reason, and you're blaming the fire?
Professor.
Yes.
I'm glad I caught you. Hi, Lou. Are you okay?
What are you doing here? No, I'm not okay. I'm going home.
Hold on. Don't go. I want you to hear this. Pardon me. Let me introduce myself. My name is Della. I am Lou's aunt. I think I interrupted something, but do you have a moment to talk with me?
Sure, why not? It's all right, ma'am. This isn't the first time I've been yelled at by a young, passionate student.
Well, I'm not sure what you were talking about with Lou, but I'm here to support her education. She told me she didn't get full credit for her last assignment, and to be honest, now I'd like to know why she's upset.
Right, that's exactly what we were talking about, until it took kind of a wrong turn.
What was the wrong turn?
Well, I was trying, apparently unsuccessfully, to reassure her that TEK is a part of the curriculum, even in undergraduate coursework.
Okay, well, Lou said she didn't get full credit because she cited me in her paper, and I'm not a published source. So, I brought a few other student studies that also cite my expertise as a traditional ecological knowledge holder to show you that there actually is a method for citing Indigenous sources developed by Larissa McLeod, who's a librarian in Edmonton, Alberta. You can see in the papers how the citations work. So, there's no reason for Lou not to get full credit.
Okay, I see that. But Lou also lost credit for not completing the assignment as it was assigned. Now, all the details were in the rubric.
And does that rubric make room for TEK?
Well, we aren't in that module yet.
This is what I want to emphasize, Professor.
Daggett.
Thank you. Professor Daggett, I'm not talking about the TEK you might be learning in the classroom in a module. I'm referring to the knowledge related to her culture that she can only learn with her own people. The people who have managed this land from time immemorial.
Now for the action part of Climate Theater Action. Every performance in this global festival ends with an action that the audience can take. One of the simplest and most powerful actions you can take is to start a conversation with someone you know. According to surveys by the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication, while a majority of Americans are worried about climate change and wish for government action, many feel that they are alone. And two-thirds of Americans rarely or never discuss global warming with friends and family. Breaking that silence is the first step. Talking about one of these plays and your reaction is an easy way to start. Thanks to our voice actors, Stephanie Joy, Alana McClay, Gianni Orlandi, Sylvia Shaw, Sue Lee, Judith Mayer, Solomon Averta, Amelia Resendez, and Samantha Williams-Gray. Audio production by Wendy Ring.